The reading is from Luke 1, 26 to 56. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went with her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaps for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
The lighting of the candles reminded us that we are in the season of Advent, when we look back 2,000 years to the first coming of Jesus. We look ahead, look forward in both senses of the word, to the time when Jesus will return. And also today we reflect on those two events and to see how they impact upon our lives today. I expect that some of you have had Advent calendars, either that you bought yourself or that you've been given them. And I was struck the other day by how great a variety there are of Advent calendars. I saw some in a newspaper article recently, and this was picked out by a man called Jinan Harb. And I'm just going to read four of the advertisements. The first one for Hotel Chocolat Supermilk, £12.50. His festive calendar is filled with solid reindeer, snowmen and penguins made from 65% cocoa. Or perhaps Pucker Herbs, £9. Behind each of the 24 windows is a different herbal tea bag. Flavours include vanilla and manuka honey and some other things as well. Or maybe Boost Box Protein is more to your liking at £35.99. For the gym fanatic, this includes full-size treats from bars and cookies to flapjacks and chocolate. I think if you had that, you probably need to go to the gym anyway afterwards. And I think probably my favourite is Cowshed Advent. That's £90, by the way. A selection of 24 natural skincare, hand care and bath and body products, including cowslip and gel, which you can have, and cowpit deodorant. So I'm not sure if any of those particularly appeal to you, or perhaps you prefer to have religious ones instead. Today's title is He Has Filled the Hungry with Good Things. But first of all, I'd like us to just reflect briefly on the passage that Penny started to read from, verse 26. It's a very familiar passage. We've heard it read to us many times over the years, particularly at Christmas, of course. And perhaps because it's so familiar, we sometimes may lose some of its impact. But of course, when we think about it, it's awesome, isn't it? Here is this young couple, pledged to be married. They're living in Nazareth, a town in the north of the country. You probably remember Nathanael in John chapter 1 said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So it wasn't particularly highly regarded as a place to live. For the young couple, the future seemed clear. They would be preparing for their marriage. Perhaps Joseph was getting the home ready, and Mary was also involved. But then God intervened. We're told it was the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. She was to be, of course, the mother of John the Baptist. We might perhaps wonder, how was it that Luke knew about these events? At the beginning of chapter 1 of his gospel, he makes it very clear of the care that he'd taken to find out exactly what the truth was. He seems to have consulted a number of eyewitnesses, and I just wonder if perhaps he'd had some conversation with Mary herself. We don't know for sure, but he certainly knows a lot of details which were very intimate to Mary. In verse 26, we see God sending the angel Gabriel to Mary. The angel had news which would change her life and our world forever. He greets her, and she seems to be troubled by his words, by his greeting. It's strange, really, isn't it, that she doesn't seem to be troubled by him, but she's more troubled by what he says. "You who are highly favoured." He calms her and tells her that she is in fact a recipient of God's grace. She will become pregnant, give birth to a son who is to be called Jesus. He has a divine sonship and an eternal kingdom and a throne from his ancestor King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have God's promise to David that his descendant would rule forever. Unlike Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, Mary simply asks for information. You remember Zechariah at the beginning of chapter 1, when he was spoken to by the angel Gabriel, said to the angel, "How can I be sure?" There seemed to have been a doubt in his mind about what God could do. And you will remember that he was struck dumb until after the birth of John the Baptist. But Mary's question was straightforward for information. How will this be? Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of God will overshadow you." The Holy Spirit equipping people for a particular role. Remember that in Exodus chapter 31, I think it is, that the Holy Spirit equips Bezalel with special gifts of craftsmanship in the putting together of the tabernacle. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit enabling the disciples to speak in foreign languages. The same is true for us today. The Holy Spirit can take us. The Holy Spirit can use us. The Holy Spirit can equip us to do things which in our natural state we would be completely unable to do. All of us can be open as Christians to the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. Mary probably had thought that she would become pregnant in marriage through Joseph. But God said that she would have his incarnate son. And in that incredible mystery, which no one, not even the most educated theologian, can possibly know, in some very special way, God was preserving the fact that Jesus would be both truly God and truly man. Gabriel speaks to Mary about Elizabeth, her relative, and tells her that Elizabeth, though barren, is now pregnant and will have a son. For nothing is impossible with God. And Jesus said in Mark 10:27 that all things are possible with God. In a way, that's putting the two things together, expressed slightly differently. But notice Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." There's a wonderful, trustful submission there on Mary's behalf. At this point, Gabriel leaves her. And in the meantime, or perhaps a bit later on, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream in Matthew chapter 1 and tells him what is going to happen. But our focus today is on this incident with Mary. She prepares to visit her relative Elizabeth in Judea. We don't know exactly where, the hill country. It's a journey probably of about 60 miles, which may take her something like 4 days or so to get there. The two women meet. They exchange news. They're rejoicing together. Elizabeth's baby leaps in her womb at the news that Mary gives to her and her greeting. And Elizabeth, we find, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaims loudly how blessed Mary is and her son to be. Mary now sings a joyful song of praise. It's often referred to as the Magnificat, because in the Latin it's "My soul doth magnify the Lord," and for those in the Anglican Church, they will, or used to, at evensong be singing the Magnificat every Sunday evening. Mary's song reveals a deep knowledge of Scripture. She's echoing, in fact, Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah, as you know, the mother of Samuel. There's certain similarities between the two songs. Mary's song shows her piety, her humility, her servanthood, and God as her Saviour. I think it's very important for us to realise that Mary too needed a Saviour, as indeed all of us do. In the first part of her song, she rejoices in God's greatness, his holiness, his mercy, and his great power. And also we see gradually the song moves perhaps from the religious focus to political. God overturns the accepted order of society. He scatters the proud. He sends the rich empty away. He lifts up the humble. He brings down rulers. The challenge for us as Christians is that I believe we are so easily influenced by society's values. It's so easy and tempting to just follow the way of the world because it perhaps leads to a quieter life. But I believe that we are as Christians challenged to look at society and where society's values differ from God's values, we are to stand firm on what God has given to us. Much of Jesus' ministry was involved with the outcasts, the poor, the sick, and the marginalized. I wonder what is our response. Last Wednesday, Wendy and I were in Exeter, and we noticed it was quite a wet, showery day, in some of the recesses that there were homeless people just sort of sitting there. Sometimes they had a dog with them, sometimes not. And I think there were at least five people who were selling the big issue. I don't know if you've had the most recent edition of the big issue. It comes out every week, and each week they give a profile of one of the sellers of the big issue. And this particular week, the person that gives the profile is someone called Kaz Hopkins. She's 34 years of age, and she has a big issue pitch in Cardiff. And this is what she said about herself. "I lived in Merthyr in the Valleys all my life before I came to Cardiff. About 3 or 4 years ago, I broke up with my partner, had a breakdown, became homeless. Before that, I'd had 3 heart attacks, so I was already out of work. I was out on the street, and that's when I came here. I tried to get enough money to sort out somewhere to live, but unfortunately, I'm still sleeping rough. I'm supposed to be getting a place in January. I'm with this new project called Housing First, and they're marvellous. They work with rough sleepers, helping with appointments and finding a property and stuff. It would be a flat of my own, but with support. I can't wait to get off the street. More than anything, rough sleeping is embarrassing. It's just hard, like it's getting harder. Sometimes when I've earned enough, I go into a hostel for the night. It's not often, but it's nice when it happens. I get a shower. That's the best part. Well, that and the bed. The people in Cardiff are lovely. They really are. But there are loads of homeless around here now." Jesus said, "I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you visited me." Matthew chapter 25. In Luke chapter 1, verse 53, "He's filled the hungry with good things." That's an echo of Psalm 107, verse 9. And I believe it shows Jesus' concern both for the physical and spiritual needs of people. Remember the miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. And every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray for daily bread. He calls us to provide for the hungry. We can do that in many different ways, perhaps with overseas aid,